ABC Radio Melbourne.
Monique Bowley with you for the afternoon, and we are talking about infidelity. Infidelity, as someone on the text line has said, not infidelity. Thank you very much for holding me to account. Sloppy on my behalf. Now, relationship, I don't want to frighten you out there if you're in a relationship, but the studies show that around 60% of married men and around 45% of married women admit to infidelity. This means that well over half of all marriages will be affected by it at some stage. So today we're talking about whether a relationship can survive it and how. Can it become stronger? And how do we get there? Cindy Darnell is one of Australia's leading wellbeing therapists and relationship educators, and she's a counsellor, a speaker, a writer and a sexologist. Welcome to Afternoon, Cindy.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here.
Have you ever been cheated on?
Well, I have been in relationships with people where folk have acted out of integrity. That's within friendships and in intimate personal relationships as well. So when we talk about cheating, I think sometimes that phrase minimizes our capacity to actually understand what's going on, because cheating implies that there's only, you know, two options, right and wrong. And what can happen with acting out of integrity can have many layers and many levels of understanding to it. And sometimes reducing something that can be very emotionally charged to black and white reduces our capacity to process it.
It's interesting that we do see it in such black and white terms. There are so many people in relationships that find this to be the real deal breaker.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll stick by their partners through other kinds of transgressions, alcohol or drugs.
Exactly.
So Cindy, why is it sex that makes people upset?
Okay, well, I actually say the word sex out loud. I say sex every day, and it's part of what I do. It's part of who my professional identity. So it's not something that I think we should be sexing about. It's really important that we do say these words out loud, because sex is a normal part of our lives. Sex is an integral and healthy and essential part of our lives, and if we can't talk about it, it's going to make it really hard when a situation comes up in our relationship where that is the central problem, as in the case of sexual infidelity or acting out of integrity with regards to a sexual context, as opposed to a drug and alcohol context, a financial context, all kinds of other contexts in which people either make mistakes or genuinely are just rat bags and do bad things. There's that too. So it depends really on how we look at it.
Do you see this a lot in your practice?
Yes.
Every day?
Yes.
What do you start with? Where do you start with people when they come to you with this problem?
I ask them how they feel about it. First place is let the feelings roll on out. So I'm not necessarily interested in who was right and who was wrong, because that's a subjective interpretation of any given story. What I am interested in is how do we feel about what's transpired, because that's a much richer dialogue to have, and that's also the place where we'll find solutions.
We've had a text here already saying that my partner and I opened up our relationship after we both cheated. We have such a deep emotional connection that the physical part isn't as important. It's been a year of being open and it's been amazing. If you would like to contribute to the conversation, the SMS number is 0437 774 774, but we would love to chat to you, and the phone number is 1300 222 774. That's interesting that the physical part isn't as important, this texter says.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that?
I'm not sure that I understand the statement that the physical part isn't as important as what?
As in emotional connection with someone.
I still don't understand the question. What do they mean? What's the context?
Does, in a relationship, how do we place too much emphasis on sex and the physical part?
That really is that's a very relationship-specific question. I don't know how much emphasis people place on sex in relationships. Some place a lot, some place very little. For some, it's an absolutely unforgivable thing if their partner acts out of integrity with regards to sex. For others, it's completely acceptable and in some cases a relief. Thank goodness. That means I don't have to give you XYZ sex act that you're always bugging me for. Does it matter if it's sex or money or emotion? Like, for some people, emotional infidelity is far more offensive.
Someone says here as well, Kate has texted in saying, is infidelity only counting as sex, only deemed as sex with someone else, or does flirting count as infidelity?
Exactly, exactly. So these are the things. So some people might have an agreement in their relationship that, you know, you can get sex with another person or a particular sex act or a variety of sex acts because, you know, there are various reasons within the relationship that it's not suitable. But if you start having an emotional, profound connection and you start sharing secrets with that person, then I might find that really challenging and that would be considered a transgression. So that's why there are so many layers to this, that it's very, very hard, I would actually say impossible, for any kind of you know, thinking audience, as we are here on the ABC, to consider this in such narrow terms of good and bad, black and white. It's way more textured than that.
Absolutely. Peter has given us a call from Lara. Hi, Peter. Welcome to Afternoons.
Oh, good afternoon. I was just letting you know that it happened in our marriage, and we got through it really by not involving a lot of people, mainly went for counselling, but we found that if we involved friends or family, they'll probably take sides and it becomes a saga rather than a real life issue that we want to deal with.
And that's, I think that's a really, really good point, is when we start telling people, and even though we're just sort of trying to get things off our chest, sometimes what can happen is people jump in, you know, the moral police will jump in and decide who's right and who's wrong, and then everybody becomes an expert on these things, and it can actually leave the people in the centre of the quandary, the centre of the situation, with very little recourse, because everybody's, you know, blabbering about their perspective and not actually listening to the feelings of the people involved, which is why, from a therapeutic point of view, I always start with, how do you feel about what's happened?
Peter, how long did it take you to get through it together?
Oh, it did take a lot of years, and I guess that, you know, there was probably 10 kilos lost in stress, and of course we had young kids, and I think that was the problem. We had kids young, and my wife wanted to go back to work, and when she went back to work, she found that she was more than just a mother, and was back into a workplace that she had an identity and all the rest. And that's where it sort of fell down a bit. But after, I guess, 2 years of, you know, that stress and getting over it, the other point was there was no blame. There was never thrown back at her or anything like that to say, you know, a cheap shot, I guess. It was, you know, we dealt on each issue as they come up and made sure that it wasn't one of those cheap things that I could throw away a line and say it's all your fault.
How hard was that to do, Peter?
Pretty hard, actually, in a way, in the start, but it was more because the third party wasn't involved in our life at all. It was a work colleague who you know, lived 100 k away. I'd never met or anything like that, so I didn't have to blame them or, you know, feel anger at them. It was all about trying to deal with getting back and being happy again in our marriage and being what our marriage should have been.
Thanks for sharing that with us, Peter. Good luck to you.
Thanks very much.
That's really interesting, Cindy. Does it so require so much patience on behalf of the spouse that has been? Well, I don't want to use the word cheated on, because you said the word cheating is...
Yeah, or the partner who is feeling perhaps hard done by the situation. It really does call them to. To have a look into their heart, I guess, at a level, and go, is this acceptable to me? In some cases, like Peter, he's going to say, well, you know, I can accept it, I don't like it, and I can work through the emotions and I can have some compassion for her and the reasons that she did the things that she did. And some people will go through that process, not necessarily with any ease. He was describing quite strongly that it wasn't easy for him, but there was a willingness. Now, for some people, they are going to be absolutely categorically, no, I can't believe you did this. I don't want to be with you. I don't trust you. Finished. The end. And that's fine. That's their prerogative. But it doesn't have to be that way. When we start jumping to conclusions and we assume that every relationship and every person in every relationship needs to respond the same way, we minimize people's capacity for self-inquiry and working out what kind of relationship do they want to be in, because we are not in cookie cutter relationships. Each relationship, even that the same person has, is going to be slightly different to the relationships before. And that's because relationships are not monoliths. They're not static. We create them in every moment. We create them through the actions, our words, and the way that we negotiate agreements. And because of this, we have free rein in the kind of relationships that we create. None of us are being drawn along by anything other than ultimately our own choice, especially around personal relationships. Family relationships, not so easy, because you can't trade in your siblings or your parents. Our partners, we can. Mm. And our friends, we can, to a degree. So it's really important to remember that we have a lot more say here in how things transpire than perhaps we would like to admit.
Rosalind has called from Dandenong. Hello, Rosalind.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What happened to you?
Oh, it didn't happen to me. It was just an opinion. People always talk about infidelity and think it only applies to sexual infidelity. But to me, you can have a woman who'd never think of having sex outside marriage, but every time she opens her mouth, she puts her husband down. Or a man, and every time he speaks about his wife, he belittles her.
Mm.
To me, that is just as infidel,
mm-hmm.
as much infidelity.
Absolutely. It's completely out of integrity,
sexual.
Yeah.
If you look it up in the dictionary, it means unfaithfulness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's a really good point.
Thanks, Rosalind. Yeah, I think that is a really good point. Mm. I hadn't considered infidelity to be quite outside.
It has many, many layers to it.
Mm. Mm. Dave has given us a buzz from Montrose. Hi, Dave.
Hi, ladies. I think it depends on what role sex plays within the relationship itself.
Mm-hmm.
So you could, okay, hypothetically, you could have in the relationship sex is just fun and it's sex and that's it, just go for it. I don't see that as much of a problem with infidelity, but then you have sex within the relationship where it involves intimacy and it forms part of the emotional bond, et cetera, et cetera. That's a big issue with infidelity. I think either I'm on the fence with that.
Mm.
If a relationship, the sex starts as intimacy within the relationship and it degrades over or erodes over the course of years and it just becomes habitual and it's just sex and it's not even enjoyable sort of thing, then I think that's just an infidelity occurs. I just think that's the tap on the shoulder. Hey, I think it's time we moved on. From my perspective, it all depends, and you can't have a one-size-fits-all because, and also we're only responsible for our own feelings. So if whatever transgression your partner makes on you, then they can't tell you how to feel about that. That's up to you. That's your own personal stuff. So if you're not happy, regardless of if that person's been, committed infidelity or not, no one else has a right to tell you to be cool with it or upset with it. So I think it is a very individual thing.
Mm, exactly. And I think one of the things, too, that's a common assumption that's terribly untrue is that when a sexual infidelity takes place, people can assume it's because the partner doing the transgressing doesn't love the other partner anymore. And that, in the vast majority of cases, is actually not true. In the vast majority of cases, the person who is seeking sex outside of the agreed relationship boundaries is doing it because of something within themselves, that it often cases has nothing to do with the other partner. It affects the other partner, absolutely, but it doesn't always have something to do with them. It's not because of them.
1-300-222-774 is the number if you'd like to join the conversation with Cindy Darnell, sexologist, relationships counsellor. We're talking infidelity and whether a relationship can survive it. Cindy, we've got quite a few text messages coming in from people saying trust. Once the trust is broken, once there is a betrayal of trust, you have nothing left.
Mm.
But we were talking earlier about this being a very grey area. How do you feel about once the trust is broken, is it gone?
Well, it really depends on the relationship. So for the people who are texting in and saying, once the trust is broken, that's the end. If that is their position, if that's their truth, then yes, they're absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm.
But there are going to be others for whom it's an opportunity to renegotiate the agreements within the relationship, which means that they actually get to explore new alternatives and they get to explore new ways of relating. So in some cases, it may strengthen trust bonds. So it really depends on the individuals involved.
Mm. Mary sent in a text saying, I was the kind of person who was very high and mighty and very anti-affair until I did it myself. Not something I planned. It happened out of the blue.
Mm.
It's not black and white and I'm not judgmental anymore. It's taken 3 years to get our marriage back on track.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting that she said it happened out of the blue and not something I planned.
Mm.
Is that something you hear a lot?
Look, not a lot, but it's not unusual either. It really depends. So for her, I'm not sure what the circumstances were, but that she was saying that she had never envisaged herself that way until it happened. Maybe she'd had a few drinks. Who knows? But this is the thing, is that sometimes, you know, when we are confronted with an aspect of ourselves that shocks us, that we think, I would never do this, and then we find ourselves doing the thing, whatever the thing is, we are confronted with, you know, understanding ourselves at a much deeper level and finding forgiveness sometimes for ourselves, despite the fact that we have done a thing that we wish we could undo, but we can't. What's done is done, but how we move forward and what we learn about that is integral to, I think, the healing process for everybody involved.
Gareth's rung in from Moorabbin. Hi, Gareth.
Hello, how are you?
Good. What's your story?
Oh, well, I had an affair about 5 years into our marriage, and it's something that eventually came out. I ended it after a couple of months and then told my wife about it, and something that was very hard to work through at the time, but we worked through it together. I was, you know, she had a lot of questions and a lot of angst about it. And I found that being totally open and honest, answering everything she wanted answered, realizing was my mistake, and just being, you know, really as honest as I can about it all, helped us get through it.
Mm-hmm. How long ago was it, Gareth?
It was probably about 10 years ago now.
Does it still come up in conversation?
Very rarely. It still does, but extremely rarely. Like, in the first couple of years, it just got progressively less and less and less. And so in the first couple of years, yes, it was a regular topic, and it might not have been, it's not so much a topic, but things might happen or memories might happen that would jog my wife's memory, or a question will come up out of something mundane might have happened that might trigger a thought in her head. And then all you can approach that is with pure honesty to, because we found that if you're not honest, she makes up her own answer. And then as time went on, those questions and those triggers lessen and lessen and lessen.
Mm. And that's a good thing. I mean, that you're finding for you guys for you being able to tell the story eliminated her from having to fill in the gaps and sort of run away with imaginary stories. And then there are, for other people, they don't need to hear all the facts because they get images in their minds, and then those images, the visuals, can stick with them and kind of make them feel a bit unstable sometimes as well. So again, each to their own. You guys worked through, you found your formula that works, and, you know, more power to you. Well done.
And we dealt with it probably our personalities, and we need to deal with, and we've come out a heck of a lot stronger.
Exactly.
Than we were at the time.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So having a temperament or temperaments in both of your cases that are, you know, the willingness on both sides to power through,
right.
That's integral. That's really, really important. So well done.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gareth. I'm so cheered, Cindy, by the mature responses from our audience. Margaret from Hamilton. Hi, Margaret.
Hello. I do realise that an affair is between the parents, but I would just like to say that if it goes on for a long, long time, like, say, 40 years, and you've listened to your mum bang on about this person for a long, long time, and it still is very annoying and still hasn't stopped even though the other person has passed away, I just want to know how to resolve that in my mind. You know, it's actually causing a rift in the family.
I just want to clarify that I've understood you correctly. Are you saying that your mum was having an affair for 40 years?
Sort of blatant, would talk about this other person in our house when my siblings and I were teenagers, continues to do so.
Okay, and this person she was having the affair with has passed away?
Yeah, only recently.
And your mum still talks about this person?
Yes, and it drove me insane as a teenager. It just... similarly now. And
okay. Yes. Does your mum know that it upsets you so much?
No, she doesn't. I don't think she'd listen.
Right.
She'd just laugh.
I wonder if telling her that you're upset would be a helpful place to start.
Thank you. I would like to try, but she says that I'm being unpleasant.
Well, you might be in her perspective, but you're also entitled to your opinion, especially if she's talking to you about this person and you don't want to hear it. You're allowed to say to her, I don't want to hear about this.
It's more how she says it in front of my father, who was and is a decent man.
Right. Yeah, I mean, look, that is a tricky situation. And firstly, I'm sorry that you're in the middle of this. It really sounds like a little bit of family therapy wouldn't go astray if you can get everybody to the table. I know that's not easy, but yeah, that would be my suggestion.
I think you'd be calling the police because I'd probably hit someone. Anyway, thank
Margaret.
You.
Margaret, what's your mother's name?
I'm not saying what my mum's name is unless okay. She phoned in and said she's listening.
Yeah, well, she might be. Do you want to practice now? Practice talking to her about it? Do you want me to play the role of your mother?
No, thank you, because if I hang up, she might ring me, and it might have actually helped.
Let's hope it did open the dialogue, Margaret.
Do you really have someone on the phone who's recognised my voice?
No, 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 no.
Cheers, thank you.
No, all right, good luck with that, Margaret.
Bye-bye.
Oh, that sounds like a tricky one, doesn't it, Sam?
Yeah, and look, families all have their little skeletons in the closet. So, again, for anyone listening, just to remember, you know, families and relationships, it's you know, not for wimps.
Finally, a text from Patrick from Ringwood who says, maybe it's the Irish Catholic in me, but I feel like if this ever happened in my family, nobody would ever talk about it, ever. So thank you so much for opening the discussion today, Cindy Darnell.
Oh, you're welcome.
Relationship and sex therapist, and you can find all her details on cindydarnell.com.